history and how God had dealt really directly with them and all of the conflicted stuff that was going on. When we come to chapter 5, this is where the confrontation begins. And all of the things that Moses had heard God say, I don't want to say comfort, because in the presence of God, there's not really comfort. You're a bit edgy because of who he is. But still, it's like we talked about the mountaintop experience last week. And sure enough, as soon as Moses starts heading back down and steps out and does exactly what God has asked him to do, it all seems to unravel. And what we're going to see as we get into this confrontation with Pharaoh is this is not about Pharaoh. Pharaoh is part of God's plan, but ultimately it's about Moses and God's people. They have to come to terms with who he is. And they also have to come to terms with the fact of, because he is who he is, that things are not going to necessarily be the way that they think they should be. Right? I mean, things, because we follow God, doesn't mean that everything we touch is going to turn to gold, and everything we smell is going to be rosy, and everything we see is going to be with great clarity. It's not going to happen. The reality of it is, to follow the Lord often means we follow into places where we don't want to go, which is why we had to be encouraged to follow. If it was an easy journey, everybody would do it. But it isn't. And so Moses has to learn that. So keep that in mind as we look through this chapter. And so here again begins the confrontation with Pharaoh. But interestingly, I probably should have titled this particular section, really, the confrontation with Moses and his relationship with God. But you'll get the idea. So in verse 5:1, now remember what has happened. Moses has been called up. All of the stuff has been said. He whined, he sniveled, he didn't want to do it, but God said, no, I want you to go. You're going to take Aaron and all of these other things that we've been talking about. So after all of this now, this is where verse 1 comes in. So afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, that's exactly what God had said for them to do. Now notice again, we're learning, I hope you're learning, to start paying attention to the spelling in our English translations of the Hebrew. Because Moses is clearly here identifying Yahweh as the God, the El, of the nation of Israel. So this is a clear statement to Pharaoh that it isn't Osiris, it isn't Ra, it isn't any of the other gods of Egypt. The God of Israel is Yahweh. And so the minute he spits this out, you see, he's expecting, I suppose, the response like we would like to think that when we tell people we're a Christian that they're just going to love us because we represent love and grace and all of that kind of stuff. And we're finding out rather quickly that it's just not that way. But it's interesting to me that after they did this, they go in and you can sort of see, and I don't mean this to sound like it's a prideful issue, but you're pumped up, you know. I mean, you've got the Lord behind you. You're going to step out there no matter how afraid you are. I'm sure this was something that him and Aaron were like, dude, I do not want to go into this guy's presence. I mean, from a human perspective, Pharaoh holds life and death in his hands. All he has to say is, off with their heads and we're toast. But nevertheless, God has said it. So they may have sort of went with a bit of trepidation, I suppose, into the presence of Pharaoh. But the point is that they did it. And what they did initially here, and this is why I'm stressing this right now, what they initially did was said exactly what God had said them to do. Now, interestingly enough, look at Pharaoh's response. And Pharaoh said, who is this Yahweh, is really what he's talking about, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know, and of course you take the out if you put Yahweh, I do not know this Yahweh, so I won't let Israel go. Now all of a sudden this preparation, this anticipation, all of these things that went into these guys getting ready to actually get into the presence of Pharaoh, and boy, they did just what God asked them to do. There they are in his presence, and they speak the word, and immediately, boom, from their perspective, it seems like the rug's been just ripped right out from their feet. Right? But isn't this exactly what God had said would happen? Yes, it is. Isn't it amazing how we have the ability to hear all of the good things that God has to say to us, but fail to understand or to comprehend or to remember those things that are going to be tough in our lives? We always talk about what a glorious relationship it is with the Lord, and yet we read over and over again in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, I've shared this with you guys so many times. Every person that followed Jesus Christ, almost every, but at least those that we know of, everyone except the Apostle John paid for it with their lives. They were all martyred. Throughout the first three, and basically 3.5 centuries of the church, it was a death sentence to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not something that you took lightly. And so when you began to do this and you stood there, you recognized that who you represented as light and as truth was going to be an absolute contrast to darkness and error or lies. And so there was this thing that went on. But yet we seem to always remember the Lord's His stuff to tell us that he's going to bless us. We always love that. Oh, bless me, Lord. We were talking about this last Sunday night at our prayer on Sunday evenings about a song that Keith Green did years and years ago, when actually right after I became a Christian. Keith Green was one of the first musicians that I actually listened to and learned some of his songs. But he had this song. And I can't remember what it was, but the words were this: bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. You know, that's all I ever hear. But no one aches, no one bleeds, no one even sheds a tear. How can we be so numb not to care if they come? But we close our eyes and we pretend the job's done. That's pretty powerful words, right? And so that challenge in that song early on in my life was like, holy cow. So I didn't become a Christian for my benefit, ultimately, yes. But I became what God is going to use me as a Christian is to benefit other people. I have been blessed to be a blessing, right? But just because that's true doesn't mean that blessing always has to be easy. And sometimes when I have to stand up for who God is, then this is the treatment that's going to go. And so I always remember that the Lord is going to go with me. And then I get in those times and all of a sudden the wind is taken out of the sails because I forgot to also heed the side of suffering, right? No one begins to build, Jesus said, unless it first sits down and considers the cost. Otherwise, you're going to look like a fool if you start to build and you get partially done and then you don't have the remaining funds to continue to build. Nobody does that. That's just insane. And we learn elsewhere in the scripture that no king goes out in battle unless he's sure that he has the forces necessary available to complete the task. Otherwise, he's going to get romped. And if you're going to get romped anyway, and they can overtake you with the number that you've got, then you might as well let your people survive, right? So we always forget about those things. And again, it's like Keith Green said, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. That's all we ever talk about, right? And so then when these times hit and all of a sudden they said, the Lord. Dude, I'm not interested in hearing about your God. Ever had that happen to you? I don't believe in your God. I don't like your God. How could your God be a God of love and let the stuff happen in the world that's happening in the world? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It goes on and on and on. It's just loose lips. By the way, you know, I was doing some study, and you guys know that's what I like my life. And I was doing some stuff for the elders in our counseling handbook, and was doing getting a clear understanding on gossip and slander. And the word gossip, really, we've got this misunderstanding in our day, but really the word meant to have loose lips, to just sort of just let things slip without any intent. Slander, on the other hand, is to intentionally speak something to cause harm. That's slander. But the interesting thing is, when I was looking at gossip, I chased it back into the Hebrew, because you know that the Hebrew became the Greek, and then the Greek, of course, is what they used in the New Testament. And I found that loose lips is the Hebrew word which we get gossip in our English Bibles from. It's yada. Sounds familiar? Yeah. Where we go, and yada, yada, yada. That's where that comes from. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it's just loose lips. Just yeah, yeah, yada, 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 yada. It's coming from, see, people, we always got these sayings. We don't even know where they come from. I'm stunned every time I come across things like that. Because they always say the Word of God, you know, the Bible, the critic says, oh, it hasn't changed anything. Yeah, all right. Okay, but anyway. So who is this guy? Who is Yahweh that I should believe him? Now, you know what? I don't think I'm going to believe him. Secondly, I'm not going to release him. So there. Now, it's interesting to me. I wouldn't you have loved to have seen the look on Moses' face at this point? Because I'm sure he went in there with his guns a-blazing, Aaron backing him up, so to speak. Actually, it was probably Aaron that said it. But anyway, went in there, and they're all ready for this. And then all of a sudden, the Pharaoh just goes, no. And then it's like, what? See? And now notice what happened. So now notice what happens in verse 3. And so they said, see, they went in there with that powerful statement. Now notice what happens. Watch the change. So they said, well, the God of the Hebrews, what's wrong with that? The God of the Hebrews is named Yahweh. We forgot his name already, Moses. We forgot to put his name out there? No. What he's trying to do here is he knows he's up against something here, and you can imagine, you can see his respirations have increased, his pulse has increased, his blood pressure has gone up, he's entering a period of anxiety, because this guy has simply not responded to God like he suspected that he would. And so now he's sort of thinking on his feet, the God of the Hebrews. That's a true enough statement, but it's the Lord God of the Hebrews that sent him. That was the point. To distinguish Yahweh from the gods of Israel, from the gods of Egypt. You see? He has just taken him out of the equations. Now watch this. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a day's journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God. Please? Please? God sent me here, Pharaoh. And this is what he said was going to happen. But if you don't let me go, then the people are going to make fun of me. They're going to say I was crazy for believing the Lord. And I don't know, you know, he almost struck me down in the desert because I forgot to circumcise my son. I don't know what's going to happen now. So please, please let my people go. Can you just see this? Now, I don't know if that's exactly what happened. But you know why I think that's what happened? Because that's what I would have done. That's all. And Moses apparently was a lot like me and you. Because he was a conehead. And he just didn't get it. And so all of a sudden he backs up and he goes into this, and now all of a sudden notice what he's doing. He's speaking on behalf of the Lord. This is not what God had said. God had made it very clear. You're to say this to him, and when you say that, he's not going to respond positively, Moses. Twice God said that to him. Now, so what's happened now is Moses has been confronted with this thing, and now he has a choice to make. Which is the same choice that all of us have to make when we must stand on what God has revealed to us as well. Are we going to do it, or are we going to cower before the world and say, no, well, please, can I do this? As we said before, when they start making it illegal for us to say and do the things we do, are we going to start asking, please? To save ourselves a lot of grief? And we'll probably sort of reason something like this, well, you know, I'll go ahead and be flexible and abide by their rules, but God knows my heart, right? And he knows that really I'm only doing this because if I make these people upset with me, then I'm not going to be able to minister to them. Ever heard that before? Ever used that before? Yeah, I have, lots of times. What a bunch of garbage. But it makes us feel better, doesn't it? And it sounds really good when we're telling our story to someone else, right? Well, you know, I'm staying with, you know, I've got to stay in this and stay with these guys or with this place. I've got to go to this place because, you know, and I've got to be just like them in order to win some. After all, didn't Paul say, well, win in Rome? And do we have the saying based on Paul's statement, win in Rome, right? Didn't Paul say, I am all things to all men so I can win all men? Sounds really good, doesn't it? Well, that's what Moses is doing here. Oh, okay. Well, so I tried the God way, and though I know God is still real, obviously he's real, you know what, Pharaoh, I'll just sort of bend a little bit here, and we'll just do this. So please, let us go a day's journey, or a 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice. Now he adds the Lord in there. Notice the last part of this. Lest he fall upon us with pestilence or the sword. I don't know what's happening there again, but it seems to me that he's trying to say, well, if you don't let us go, God's going to snuff us out and you ain't going to have us anyways. Right? I don't know what the motive behind this is, except to know that that's what I would have done. So don't do this, because God will judge us if we don't respond to this. Now, what's wrong with this whole thing? This is the way we respond. That's what's wrong with it. Instead of just going in there and saying, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. We are going into the wilderness for 3 days to worship our God. So we will depart, and we will return on the appointed day. deal with it, and turned around and walked off. That's what we should do, but that isn't what we do, is it? And then we wonder why, when we have brothers and sisters that we should say that to, no, you cannot do this. This is absolutely not right. It is incorrect. And ultimately, that's the greater expression of love than to let them continue down the road, isn't it? But it's a lot easier to let them continue down the road, because otherwise we'll be accused of slander and gossip and backbiting and all of the other stuff, being judgmental, blah, yada, 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 right? Ay, ay, ay. No, we have to stand for the truth. Folks, if we do not stand for the truth, then we'll fall for anything, as the old saying goes, right? And there, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I keep telling you that, and of course you guys already know that. So, verse 4. So then the king of Egypt said to them, now this is after the whining session, Moses and Aaron. Now this is interesting to me. We don't know why, we're not told, but this guy somehow, remember, this is Amenhotep II. So this is not anybody that apparently would should have, as far as I know, been familiar with who Moses was, other than through there was this Hebrew guy that killed somebody in the royal court, or killed him, and he ran off, you know, he was a royal Hebrew, I suppose, 40 years ago. But this guy knows his name, their names. Now, I don't know if they were introduced by their names, but whatever. But it's interesting that here he says Moses and Aaron. He does not say, oh, servants of the Most High God. He just simply identifies them. Who do you take... Why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. From his perspective, from Pharaoh's perspective, all that was happening here was Moses and them were trying to give their people a break. That's how he viewed it. You know, you guys have been pretty harsh on our people, and so you know what? And from his perspective now, you're showing up telling me that this God, I'm supposed to be scared God, is telling me that I have to do this, otherwise he's going to judge us, and he's obviously going to judge you guys, and if I don't do that. But the reality of it is, Moses, I know what you're doing. You just want to take a break for 3 days. But I'm not going to let that happen. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. They're not working today, Moses, and you know why? Because you're in here making this goofy request of me that I'm not going to grant. That's really what's happening here. So while you're here, those people are doing this. And this is what piques his anger. Now, we've already seen where he said, I don't know who this God is, and I won't listen to this God. So it's very important to understand that he made the first step of hardening his heart. Okay? Later, we're going to see clearly that God is going to now jump in. Back to the Romans chapter 1 thing from Sunday mornings. God's going to give him over to that hardness to stand in contrast to God. And so as he's doing this now, from his perspective, he is the one that is in control of this. Moses has spoke of this God, but as yet, Pharaoh has seen no reason and no indication to believe that this God of Moses is anything to fear. Or to respect. Nothing has happened here, except these two old-looking skinny guys come in and tell you what you're supposed to do. Where's the fear in that? Now, we all know the end of the story, but they didn't. Okay? They didn't understand that. And so Pharaoh's saying, no, I don't think so. This isn't going to happen. And the reality of it is, while you're here wasting my time, your people are wasting my time. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people, their officers, saying, now notice that the people and their officers. Now we're going to see here in a minute, who are these people? These are the Hebrew slaves that had apparently been elevated to the position of, for lack of a better, well, taskmaster would probably be the best way to describe it. So they were Hebrews that the Egyptians were using to get the Hebrews to do things. Okay, so the same day, Pharaoh commanded those, the Hebrew taskmasters of the people, that is Israel, and their officers, saying, okay, here's what he says to them. So apparently now, Moses and Aaron have gone for whatever reason. Now, there's a reason that's important, so watch, just watch with me here. So you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them... Let's see, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before, you shall not reduce it, for they are idle. There again is his excuse for doing this. For they are idle, therefore they cry out, saying, oh, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on. They got all that time to want to lay around, want all that time to watch Moses come in here and make his speech before me, and they got time to go and get their own straw. Okay? Let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. And maybe while they're doing that, they'll understand that this Moses and this Aaron are quacks. Okay? Now what's happening here, I know many of you are familiar with the situation and the story, but basically, for those that don't know, what happened was when they made brick in those days, the sort of a binding agent, I suppose, as they made the mud from the Nile and so on and so forth, basically it's very similar to adobe, what we would call adobe today, they would bring straw. Well, up to this point, straw had been cut, reaped, or whatever you want to call it, thrown on wagons and hauled out there to the Jews so that they could mix into the mud to mix into the bricks. So what Pharaoh is saying now is, well, since you guys are so lazy and seem to have all of this time on your hands, no more straw is being delivered to you. So that means now you're going to have to put a crew that's got to go out there, it's got to cut this hay down, has got to transport it back, because I'm not going to have it delivered anymore. That's what's happening here. And his excuse is that because the people are getting lazy, they really don't want to work, and that's what's really behind all of this, which of course is absurd. He's throwing his weight around. That's what he's doing. He's basically saying, you come to me with this God, let me show you something, buddy, who is God. This is what I say. Okay? And this is the way it's going to be. And see, and every time he does something like that, he said that to Moses now, and now he's saying it to the leader of the people, whom Moses had returned back and said, the God of Israel has spoken to me. The Lord God Most High, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That God has spoken to me. And now all of a sudden, those taskmasters are confronted with this guy. Must have been interesting. Now, one other thing to say, and again, I'm not trying to defend in any way Pharaoh, but understand something. From his perspective, If this guy shows up and said, look, Yahweh is supposed to be your God, and I'm supposed to respect this God, well, if he's so respectful, then why hasn't he been able to overcome the gods of Egypt for the past 400 years? Huh? That's a pretty good argument, isn't it? That's the way the world says. Yeah. You guys talk about your God, you talk about your God, you talk about your God. But you know what? Nothing happens. Yada, 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 right? It just keeps going on. You guys never do that. What they don't understand is what Peter said. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men consider slackness. Because with God, a day is just like 10,000 years, and 10,000 years is like a day. Now don't take that, do like a lot of goofy, stinking people do, and start trying to add up the days that are going to... That's not the point. The point is that with God, one moment is no different than many moments. That's all that's trying to say. There's all these guys who got all these calendars with, you know, God's thousand years, you know, day and days and multiplying with thousand. The scripture does not allow us to do that. Why we waste our time with stuff like that? It's just insane. How are we going to know it's getting close? Jesus said, watch the clouds. That's how. For as lightning comes out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the Son of Man be. That's the only thing we need to be worried about. It's the only thing we should be watching for. There'll be no mistake in it when it happens. So we can understand Pharaoh. Yeah, your God's so powerful, he's let us rule you for the past 400 years. Pfft, get out of my sight, man. Get. I got nothing to fear, nothing to respect. Now, let's fast forward the tape to today. Are our lives such that when we bring something like this that the Lord has said, or has asked us to do, are our lives such that we should be believed when we speak? Or does the same thing happen? You know what? You talk about your God, Ben. I don't see your God in your life. Never have. You talk about it. You talk about it. Oh, sure, you go to church. So do I. Right? You read your Bible. I know a lot of people that read their Bibles. I know you go to prayer meetings. But you know what? Dude, you're no different than I am when it really comes down to it. Eesh. Ever had that happen to you? I have. It is not pleasant. Why should I listen to you, Rick? You're no different than I am. Well, yes, I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Really? And the evidence for that is where? Right? You know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what it is. Remember, and I know sometimes I wonder, I say these things, and I know you guys go, I'm so sick of hearing this, but I can't help it because I actually, you know what? I heard my son said something to me the other day about this very thing, and I was shocked after all these years. He said, Dad, you know that thing you always say? And I said, what thing? And he goes, that if I was to be arrested for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to hold me? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I think I now understand what that means. I said, I've only said that to you like 1,000 times. He goes, yeah, I know, but it never really meant anything. But I think I understand it now. But that's the true statement. What defines us different than the people we spend our days with at work or at school or at anything else? Where is the difference in us? I can assure you that if you put Jesus in the crowd, he stood out without even opening his mouth before anybody knew who he was. The same, I think, history records the same of Paul, the same of Peter, of the apostles, as a matter of fact. Because their lives were the thing that people watched, not their words. When are we ever going to figure this out? People don't care what we say. Why? Because there's too much yada, yada, yada. Nobody cares what we say. So this whole thing of it's not going to work. Remember that statement, you're the only Bible that some will ever read. Keep your mouth shut. Let them read. If your life is such, it will be evident to all. It will be. Trust me. It does happen. So, but that's a thing, and I was really glad to see that after all these years, my son finally got it. Of course, he's unlike you guys. You think you've had to hear me say these things a lot. Imagine spending 30 years with me. All right, so in the taskmasters of the people and their officers, then they went out. So you can see Moses and Aaron had gone in and gone out first. These guys had gone in. He said this. The Pharaoh made this statement to Moses and Aaron. Then he turns around and he makes the same statement to the Hebrew taskmasters. And then they go out. And they spoke to the people of Israel. Now, notice the first three words. Thus says Pharaoh. Moses had come to us and said, thus says the Lord God. Nothing happened. Nothing. All things continue as they were. So you know what? The one that does control our lives, at this point, this is all they can understand. That one has said, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you any straw. You see what's happening here? The conflict, the confrontation between God and Pharaoh is begun. It's not just between Pharaoh and God as if that was any kind of competition to begin with, but it's also for the heart of the people and the gods of Egypt, including Pharaoh, who of course was the living God. So this is what Pharaoh says. Now they're repeating what Pharaoh says. Go get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land to gather the stubble instead of straw. So they tried to do it. They said, oh, Moses showed up and said, this is what the Lord does. So we trusted him, we put him out there, and look at what it's gotten us. Oh, so they're out there whining and sniveling, picking up the grass and so on and so forth. And you know, this is so exactly what we do today. Well, you said the Lord was gonna. He is gonna. Well, I don't see it. Well, you probably won't see it. Until it's time. That's the hardest thing for us to understand, isn't it? For whatever reason, we got this idea that God has to work within our time frame. And that's just insane. But that's what we think. If we don't see God do something with our children by age 16, we figure he's given up on them. So maybe we should too, right? Or if our job or our marriage or our, you know, fill in the blank isn't what we thought it should be, we just throw up the hands. I mean, it's just, it's really sad. So the people were scattered about, and the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. In other words, No stopping, guys. You guys got to get after this. Also, the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked. Now, did you catch that? It's not the people that are being beaten anymore. It's the people that represent the people. Because Pharaoh is driving a hard bargain here. Oh. So it's not really the people. It's the leadership of the people. So he takes the taskmasters in and he makes them pay. And of course, the response is, well, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? This is your fault, leaders. Ooh. That's why I told you guys before, and I'll tell you again. Anybody who wants to be in leadership is a nutcase. And this is why, right here. Because no matter how it goes, you get the blame. If things are looking well, everybody loves you. If they stink, they hate you. And it's always your fault, because it does run uphill, contrary to what people say, right? So, verse 15, so then the officers of the children of Israel, and they came and cried out to Pharaoh. Notice, who did they go to? Pharaoh. They didn't go to Moses. Moses and Aaron, the representatives of God, have now been left standing on the sidelines. I mean, after all, they're weak. They can't do what they said. Pharaoh is the one that holds the power. Pharaoh is the one that has the authority. Pharaoh is the one that can reduce this. We're not going to talk to Moses and Aaron to speak to the Lord our God. No. We'll go to Pharaoh. Because unlike Moses and Aaron, he can deliver. And so that's what they do. Why are you dealing with thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, make brick. And indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. This is sad. But he said, Pharaoh, you are idle. In other words, you lazy bum. That's what he's saying. You guys are still complaining. You see, he's turning up the heat. The persecution to follow the Lord has begun. And it's never going to stop, folks. We've got to get over this idea that following the Lord is this, like we said before, this wonderful ride to the promised land. When no one in history ever had the ride that we think we should have. I don't understand that. As I studied church history a long time ago, I looked at this and it changed my entire perspective on being a Christian. Because I'd always thought, and you guys have heard me share this before, that wow, I became a Christian and God is going to just bless everything and everything's going to be good and people are just going to love me because I'm going to represent Him and I'm going to be compassionate, I'm going to be merciful and forgiving and I'm going to be straight talking and I'm going to be all... None of that stuff happened. It didn't happen. And the struggles that I thought I had overcome and left behind when I became a Christian, those stinking things followed me around, man. What was up with that? I thought the Lord killed that stuff. That's where we're headed in Romans. He did. He killed the inner man, but we've got to kill the outer, or we've got to kill the outer man. We've got to put it to rest. We've got to crucify it every stinking day. So all of this stuff, and then I studied church history and I thought, whoa, it changed everything for me. Never at any point throughout the history of the church has the church not been under persecution. Where following Jesus Christ cost people their lives. It cost them their homes and their families. And yet here I am, a Christian in America, thinking that I should get everything I want, like these yo-yos on TV. Want to see how good their faith is? Let them go to Mozambique without all the travel trailers and the makeup artists and the camera lights. Find out how real their faith is, buddy. Come with me to Belize. Sleep in the bed. You're not sure if there's any scorpions in while you sleep at night. Find out what your faith really is like. Yada, yada, yada. It's ridiculous. It just aggravates the living crud right out of me. But anyway, you're idle. Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Yeah. Therefore, go now and work. Get out of my sight again. For no straw shall be given to you, and you shall deliver the same quota of the bricks. And the officers of the children saw that they were in trouble after it was said. I love that statement. I mean, the people have said, God, you got to go talk to them. You got to go talk to him. Tell him to do this. And then he responds this way, and now they're walking out of there just going, oh, man, we're getting it on both sides, dude. Pharaoh's not going to listen to us. He keeps beating us. Now we got to go back and listen to these whimpering people, and they're going to hate us even worse. We're in trouble. because we got to go and tell them that they're not going to receive anymore. Hey, I'm actually going to get through a chapter tonight. How cool is that? Then as they came out from Pharaoh, imagine that. They just happened. I love how the scripture just puts these kind of things together. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. Now, stop and think about that for a minute. What were Moses and Aaron doing there? Yeah, I think that they were trying to see if, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of this. This is Moses we're talking about here. So I'm not in any way trying to dishonor the man. He was a great man, no question about it. But again, I know what I would have been doing. I would have known what was going on, and I would have been over there close enough to try to hear and sin. And when they come out and say, you know what, guys, I'm really sorry. How did it go in there? Tell me about the conversation. Right? Maybe I can help. That's a pastor saying, right? Maybe I can help in this situation. A lot of times as pastor, no, you can't help. You need to stay the crud out of the way. People need to crash and burn. Sometimes that's the best thing that can happen to them. Right? And if we go out there and keep trying to catch everybody before they fall, we're not letting anybody accomplish anything. Right? Sometimes you've got to get scraped up before you figure things out. So Moses and Aaron, they stood there to meet them. And here's the response from these guys. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge. We just went in there. We got our keisters chewed up again, Moses. And now we got to go back into. So you know what? Between you and the Lord, as you brought it to us, let him be the judge. Who's the one that's actually the one that's creating the problems here versus the one who's trying to deal with it? Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. You guys have turned up the heat. Couldn't you have just kept your mouth shut? Moses, it really wasn't that bad before. Yeah, it's really nice to know that the Lord our God is there. It's really nice that he spoke to you. And yes, it would have been really nice if it had gone the way you said and he had set us free. But you know what? He didn't. And now it's all coming back. The chickens have come home to roost, Moses. And it's not going the right way. Do you know how many times I've heard that? Or something very similar to that? Oh, you've made us abhorrent in the sight. It's amazing. Moses just said, you know what? No, you were already abhorrent in the sight of these guys. You were just too dumb to see it. But he doesn't, because he's learning. He doesn't understand. Again, we have the foresight of, you know, almost 4,000 years to look back on this. Okay, these guys, this is happening. They didn't understand all of this stuff. So we can't really get too carried away. This is going to cost us our death. So they go to Pharaoh. Now they got to go and they got to speak to the people. They got to speak to Moses. And so now Moses has to go back to the Lord. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, now, did you guys see the thing on the news with one reporter with Obama now speaking? And I'm not knocking Obama. This is not political. But the phrase, what took you so long? That's what I felt like when I read this. Moses, what took you so long? After all this, and only after all this, now you return to the Lord? Didn't you go in confidence that the Lord had sent you with the very words of God to speak, but now you return? But it's okay, because he did return. So Moses returned to the Lord, and Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Did God bring trouble on this people? Of course not. But from Moses' perspective, from the nation of Israel's perspective, yes. Why have you brought trouble on this people? And why is it you have sent me? Remember our discussion, Lord? I didn't want to go. But no. You said go. So I go, and look at here we are. This is your fault. Every time he gets blamed, doesn't he? Every single time. The woman that you gave me. Right? Everything was fine in the garden, Lord. You and me hanging out, barbecuing, knocking them back, you know, having a great old time here. And then her. You brought her into the picture, and look at what it's cost us, Lord. This is your fault. This is your fault, God. We're in this predicament because of you. Today, oh, God stands back and watches the poor innocent children starve, as I've said before. Where there's hamburgers walking by on every street. But they won't eat them because it could be Uncle Harvey. So their kids starve. That's God's fault. Yeah. And people know they have AIDS and continue to spread it and wonder why God inflicts children with AIDS. God inflict those children with AIDS? I don't think so. But he gets blamed for everything, doesn't he? Well, let's make it personal. Let's put it into our lives. Why is my life such a wreck? My family, my marriage, my job, my car. You know, over and over and over again. We sang that song, for those of you that were there the other night for that concert, Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. In Belize, we had this string of stuff that just went wrong. And, of course, you're supposed to be spiritually mature when you're a missionary, especially like 3.5 years into being a missionary. And all of a sudden, man, our refrigerator goes out. Now, trust me, when your refrigerator goes out in the rainforest, things don't last long. It's not, well, keep the door shut and everything will be okay. No. Not when it's 110, like 130 degrees. No, it's not going to happen. So just about that time, we're trying to figure out, we just lose all this food, which we couldn't even afford to put in there to begin with. Now it's all gone. It's spoiled. By the time you can do anything, it's gone. It's over. It's toast. So just about the time we get this rectified, we go downstairs, and we did have a washing machine, but we didn't have a dryer. Try hanging clothes out to dry. Sometimes you ladies have to ask Marie how you dry your clothes in the rainforest. It takes about 4 days. But that's what you had to do. We had a wash machine that, you know, it was a Belizean kind of thing. It wasn't so good, but all of a sudden the fridge goes out, and now the wash machine goes out. And then my truck, the rear end, the reverse goes out of my truck. So I was sitting around, you know, trying to be positive about this. And I sang, praise God, how did it go? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, how did it go? But I had it. And now my refrigerator's gone. And now my anyway, it was a really good song. I'll have to practice on it, see if I can remember how it went. But that's because I was sniveling. The same thing. It's the same thing from God's perspective. It's a lack of faith. That's ultimately what it is. Because we believe God is in control, and yet when things happen that don't go the way we think, then we think he's not in control. Or he's punishing us. Or he's not listening. Or he's whatever the case may be. It's sad. So why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, oh Lord, I went as your representative. You should have backed me. I thought you were going to have her back. I thought it was going to be you and me, Lord. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. At least that was a good thing. Not to me, but to these people. Moses is beginning to understand what leadership is about. It's not about you, Moses. Never was, it isn't, and it's not going to be. The church isn't about you, Rick. It wasn't, it isn't, and it's not going to be. That's my church. Those are my people. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Right? But sometimes as a pastor, you take it on and you think differently. But no. You folks are God's. You're not mine. Right? Amen? A lot of guys think that that's different, but that's not true. But anyway, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. And neither of you delivered your people at all. What's up with that? Didn't you say you were going to get us out of here? So what, and this is amazing to me. So Moses, wait a second here. Let's rewind the tape here. Tell me exactly what you heard me say. Didn't I not tell you to go and do this? And didn't I say this is how he's going to react? And then didn't I say I was going to send you back and then you were going to do the miracles before him? Yeah. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And yet here you are saying that I'm not going to deliver. So one of us is confused, Moses. Right? It always happens that way. Now, I'm glad I got through this chapter because when we get to chapter 6, we get God's response. And it's a great, great response. And if you're ever feeling, guess I'll go eat wormy kind of thing, or if you're stuck with droopy lip syndrome, or if you've got the woe is me's, you need to read and study and understand, memorize, underline, highlight, whatever, if Exodus chapter 6. Because that is God's reply. Now, if I'd have been God, I would have tended to smack Moses around a little bit. Because I would think, you know what, a lesson in discipline here is what you need, Moses. Swack, swack, right? Get his attention. You know, the old 2x4 education kind of thing. That's how I would have done it. But that's not how God does it. In chapter 6, God basically for lack of a better word, rebukes him. But he basically puts it all back on himself. And that's so encouraging to me. Because there are times when you feel like you are just going nowhere in your own life, let alone the life of people that God has asked you to teach. And you're struggling, and you're struggling, and you're struggling, and then you start whining, you start sniveling. I don't even make it I. And then I start sniveling, I start whining, and I start, oh, Lord, I can't do this anymore. You guys have heard me say, some of you would say, the heck with the ministry, I'm becoming a truck driver. Right? Truck drivers, they just drive. Nobody bothers them. They turn the radio off if they want, breaker 19 kind of thing. Shut that thing off. Got to talk to no one. Got that big old sleeper on there, man. Nowadays, they got everything in them things that a dude could want, right? So I told Marie, I said, that's it. Get rid of the ministry. We're buying a truck. On the road again. Can't wait to get on the road again. But I can't do that. I can't. Sometimes I wish I could, but I can't. But that's why. And then it's times like that, and you just go, and then it's just like the Lord just says, are you finished? Because remember, this is about me. It's not about you. Yeah? Well, if it isn't about you, then how can you snivel about the way things are going? Oh, yeah. Because has it occurred to you that this may be exactly what I wanted to see happen to help you make you more like me? Yeah? Isn't that what you said you wanted? Yeah? So now I have to, but you're only going to accept that, receive that, if I do it the way that you think that it should be done? No. Then trust me. I am God. I am Lord. Nothing that's happening is out of my control, and certainly not out of my conscience. So, you know what? Continue to put one foot in front of the other, man. Move on. And it's like, okay. But boy, those first steps, it just feels like somebody's locked me into cement, doesn't it? Sometimes you can't even stand straight. You're crawling. Sometimes you're belly crawling. But you know what? Keep moving. Amen? Yeah, so I can just keep going on that. Good stuff from Moses, huh? A lot for us to learn there. And that's what I hope everybody's seeing. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight and again for these lessons. And Lord, as they were slow to understand, Lord, these guys, nevertheless, they continued to move. All the while whining, but they were moving forward, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that that's what we take from this. Your call is no different for us today than it was for them. Though we may not be sent to Pharaoh, Lord, we could be sent to that person sitting next to us in the office, or the person that's in the next classroom, or our teacher, or our coworker, or whatever the case may be. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. And like Moses, Lord, to learn, because you understand us, Lord, because we are slow to learn. The flesh, the spirit, Lord, is willing, but the flesh is weak indeed. It's so comforting to know those words, because that's exactly right. So, Lord, thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.